Welcome to episode 33 of Fly Away, a weekly podcast from Outlander Travel about the thing we love most, travel. Each week, we will talk about different adventures and vacation options out there, some local, some more exotic. Join us as we chat about our own travels and those of our clients. Hopefully, our talks will help you dream, plan, and get out there. My name is Lindsay, and this week I am joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Robin, Sandy, Elizabeth, and Andy. One of America's most popular destinations and one of the largest cities, New York City, is the topic of this week's podcast. Five boroughs, a harbor, and almost 8.5 million people make this vibrant, exciting, and culturally diverse destination. Whether you are a foodie, a theater junkie, or an art enthusiast, a history buff, or just a super shopper, the Big Apple offers something for everybody. So let's explore it. I know Elizabeth has been there recently.
Yep, I actually just took a cruise out of Bayonne, New Jersey, which is sort of New York City. you can see the Statue of Liberty from there. I'm not sure. Yeah, I'm not sure anyone in New York City would agree with me. But New York City is actually made up of lots of different pieces and parts. So actually, I think Robin used to live and work in New York, correct?
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about the neighborhoods and sort of what makes the city versus what sort of the outlying areas of New York City.
I grew up on Long Island and I lived in Queens, and Queens was not considered the city. Manhattan is considered the city to people who live in New York. There's so many different parts of Manhattan. I remember when I worked there, going with a bunch of friends that I worked with, and we went to Harlem to the Apollo Theater, and I had never been there, and it was so much fun, and it was so vibrant, and I mean, the music and the people, it was just so great. And then you go to the seaport, and you see different things. And then you go to the financial district, and you see different... I mean, it's so different parts of it. And you can go for, you know, a long vacation and still not see... You just see a little piece of it.
Yeah, I think the enormity of it, and, you know, certainly I actually... was born in New York City. I was actually born in Manhattan, but we moved to North Carolina when I was 2. So I don't actually have any memory of being in Manhattan, other than as a child we visited often because my grandparents lived on Long Island. So I'm by no means a native, even though I technically am one. I think New York can be very intimidating to people who haven't been to a big city before, because even though you see it on television, you see it in the movies, and you think, okay, the Empire State Building and Top of the Rock and Times Square, and those things aren't terribly far from each other, but at the same time, they're just like little. When you walk up the Empire State Building, you're like, oh, it's still big, but it's surrounded by all these other big buildings, and you could, in theory, walk right by the Empire State Building and have and not notice it.
I have
it,
a
you
picture
know?
Standing on the ground looking up at it, and it just looks like a big, great big building.
Yeah, just like all the other great big buildings around it. Yeah. So I mean, all these things that are so iconic and feel like they just stand out in New York City don't really stand out at all. They're just a part of this really big city. And so this trip, we were staying very close to Bryant Park, which I actually thought was really far away from Times Square, but it's not. I mean, I guess I just always thought that it was sort of off somewhere.
The whole island's not that big. I mean,
no, it's just a few blocks away. And it's just, and you know, it's this, it's its own little neighborhood. And you know, you're really just a few blocks from Times Square. But Times Square is sort of this big showy lights and shops and all this, whereas Bryant Park
people
is...
people in crazy costumes.
Yeah, and Bryant Park really is just a block. It's not, I mean, not even a block, really, officially. So it's just a little part, unlike Central Park, which is huge. So, yeah, lots of nooks and crannies. And honestly, you could probably spend, you know, we were there for 2 nights, and we really didn't go outside of a 10-block radius. We had the kids with us, and so we didn't take the metro. We walked everywhere. We didn't go anywhere that was too far to walk. And we went to the Empire State Building, and we went to Times Square, and we went to the theater. And
so. The first time I went, we went for New Year's Eve. I was like 19, and we stayed in New Jersey and took the bus.
Always wanted to. I never did that.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, I know. We were in Clifton, New Jersey, and we literally had to go stand on the side of the highway and wait for this bus to stop. And I can't even believe it did. But you know, we went through the Lincoln Tunnel, and every day we did that. And I swear, I think I walked over that entire island. I mean, we were at the World Trade Center, which is telling you how old I am again. But, and you know, we walked to the museum and through Little Italy and Chinatown. And I mean, back and forth, up and down, we were all over the place. And that was when I was too cheap to take cabs and stuff. So I know it's walkable if you're there for like a week.
Manhattan is really very walkable. I was up there for the first time about maybe a little over a year ago. I'd actually seen, obviously I didn't grow up over here, but I'd actually seen New York City, Manhattan, from the air. I was actually taking a flight back to England, and the captain sort of announced, he said, those of you sitting on the left-hand side of the plane, if you look out right now, you'll see a great aerial view of Manhattan. And it was just, you know, you could see everything just lit up. It was really was this sort of, you know, vibrant city, even from, you know, 30-some thousand feet. And I thought, I've got to go there sometime. I really want to see what it's like. You know, growing up in England, you get a lot of American television. A lot of it's based in New York. You watch a lot of movies. But coming in, I flew into JFK, and we took a transfer. It was a private transfer from the airport into Manhattan. And you come through Queens, and we came across the 59th Street Bridge. And all I could do as I was coming into New York City was start singing Feeling Groovy by Simon & Garfunkel. And it's just, there's so many iconic images that are linked to New York City. Whether it's songs or films or, you know, and you turn a corner and, you know, we talk about the Empire State Building and sure, that makes me think of King Kong. But, you know, you can burst into song or just, it conjures up images. Central Park just kind of was absolutely amazing. This green oasis in the middle of all this, you know, concrete jungle.
Unless you go in January, in which case it's covered with snow, which is so
there in March,
super
it was still
cool.
Snow.
that's a great time to see Central Park.
I'm known as being rather frugal at times. We were on our way to the Metropolitan Museum of Arts, and of course you look on the map and it doesn't look that far. But we, you know, by the time we realized we were about halfway there, it seemed silly to hail a cab. But we really got a good idea of just how big Central Park is at that point. But it was well worth it. It was cold. We had to stop and get a hot dog on the street and eat that as we were walking. And it was just a lot of fun. And it's something I think everybody should do. I'm used to big cities, but, you know, I've been to London, I've been to Paris, I've been to Berlin. But I think New York City is just sort of right up there as one of the must-visit big city, the metropolis sees that you have to see, and it's unlike anything else.
It's completely iconic. Yeah.
It's also really well laid out. So if you're intimidated by large cities, you know, unlike London, where you honestly...
Well, everything's sprawling.
And it's not just sprawling, but all the roads curve around. You know, they used to be cobblestone, and so, you know, some roads are literally the length of one house. But in New York City, everything is laid out. You've got, you know, you know where your evens and your odds your number streets and everything, so it is really easy. I do the same thing. I break into song when we visit. If we were staying in Manhattan and we go visit my sister-in-law, she lives in Queens, we have to take the A train. So I start singing, "You must take the A train."
Every time I get on a monorail, I sing
the monorail song.
Yep.
So when I think of New York, I think of Broadway.
Yes.
Have you been fortunate enough to visit Broadway?
Yeah. Andy, you saw a show when you were there, didn't you?
Yeah, I did see a show. We got tickets to see Pippin. We ended up being on, I think, the second row from the front of the stage. And it was just an awesome experience. I've been to shows in London's West End. I've appeared in a few amateur productions myself that weren't quite as well attended. but it was just, we walked through the theatre district and there's so many different theatres, and you see all these great Broadway shows, some old favourites, some new up-and-coming shows. And we thoroughly enjoyed Pippin. It was great. The production level was amazing, a great time. And then as we're walking back, we're just taking our time ambling back to the hotel and noticed a crowd gathering outside the stage door of a neighbouring theatre. And I thought, I wonder what's going on here. And I happened to glance up at the billboard, and it was a play starring Sir Ian McKellen and Patrick Stewart. And so we just hung about for literally 5 minutes, and out they walked. And it was just, celebrity spotting at its absolute finest, cool. The two of the world's greatest actors. And it just really made, you know, that evening for me, having seen a great show and then just seeing two fantastic actors in the flesh just literally walk by you and say, hey, how you doing?
Yeah, I'll tell you, I've been to New York at several different times of year, but in general, I tend to go around Christmas time and in the winter for some reason. Or we were there in like the heat of the summer. And my very first Broadway show was Peter Pan with Sandy Duncan. I was just talk about showing your age. Boys and girls, if you don't know who Sandy Duncan is, you might want to Google her. Ask your mom and dad. But that was fantastic. And, you know, she flew out over the audience then, and I had never seen anything like it. And, you know, it was really amazing. I saw Doug Henning's magic show on Broadway.
Oh my God, yes.
We were probably there the same night.
That was my junior high graduation gift.
I actually saw, I was in New York City over Christmas, like 2 weeks at Christmas one year, and got to see Legs Diamond with Peter Allen in it. And it honestly ran for 2 weeks. So I'm like one of 20 people who saw that show. It was kind of terrible, actually, but he was great. And then this trip, we actually went and saw Aladdin, Disney, we actually had dinner after we saw Aladdin, because in New York City, you eat really late. It's like Greece, but different. But anyway, we went after the show and met a friend of mine who's a musician on Broadway. He's actually done quite a bit of stuff. I went to college with him. I know famous people. And he's my one degree of separation. Yes, exactly. I'm not going to say his name because that's tacky, but I'll brag about
it. But I really know famous people.
He's an extraordinarily talented guy and super, super nice. So anyway, we had dinner with him afterwards, and the first thing that he said about the show was, well, there's a lot of money on that stage, and there's no doubt about it. I mean, the Swarovski crystals and the technology that was used and everything, it's just, Broadway is fantastic anyway, but then you go see a Disney production and it's just, you know, it's just so much behind. Yes, it just goes up another level.
My oldest son did a band trip to New York this past Christmas, which every time they talked about the itinerary, I had tears in my eyes because I was so excited for him. They did like, you know, Rockefeller Center, and they saw the big tree, and they went to FAO Schwartz, which is now closing. So, you know, and Empire State Building, they did the Rockettes Christmas show. They did all this awesome stuff, they went to see Aladdin, and they got to go backstage and try on costumes and stuff. And, but, I mean, you know, it's funny because he talks about what his favorite thing was, and that always comes up first. But then I'm like, well, I thought 30 Rock was your favorite. Oh, yeah, that was my favorite thing. And, you know, everything I bring up, it was such a good trip. And he left on his 14th birthday. It was such a good time to go. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm just so happy that he had that experience because that's, you know, he'll remember that forever.
Well, and I will say, if you are a theater junkie, then you definitely want to try and go in the spring because that's when a lot of Broadway shows sort of open. So, and I think that's what was happening. Andy, didn't you go sort of early March? And that was, you catch those shows where, you know, so while I was there, and unfortunately we didn't book anything else because I wasn't sure how the kids would, you know, handle, but there's a show that's starring Matthew Morrison on Broadway, Matthew Morrison and Kelsey Grammer right now.
Oh, wow.
And then there's another one with Hedwig is still running.
I can't believe you didn't go see that.
Yeah. Actually, it might have led to some interesting conversation. Oh, my kid. This is my kids we're talking about.
They're talking about
Pinky. Yeah, they're totally ready for it.
There's something for everybody, though, on Broadway, whether it's for younger crowds with either Mary Poppins or Lion King or something that's sort of a little bit more for mature audiences. I think it just runs the entire gamut. Then you get off Broadway and, you know, some great shows still running there if you have that so inclined. But I was just amazed by what New York City had to offer.
What other family-friendly activities are there?
Well, the museum from the very first night of the museum is there.
Natural History?
Yeah. And Neil deGrasse Tyson, you know, that's his museum. So that's sort of a nice little, I mean, it's a fantastic museum. You can't say nice little museum. It would take you like 6 days to get through. Yeah. But truly amazing. If you go at Christmas time, you can skate at Rockefeller Center. I think that is always a cool thing to do. And we actually have access to packages where you can see the Macy's parade if you're there at Thanksgiving, or you can do the lighting of the Christmas tree, have a special viewing area. the lighting of the Christmas tree. So those are, yeah, shopping. And, you know, there's shopping for grown-ups and then there's shopping for, and I don't mean like adult stores, although there's plenty of those as well, but there's, you know, every
42nd Street used to be a lot different.
Yeah. But there's still plenty to be found. So, but you know, every designer on earth who's anybody has a shop there.
You've got things like the M&M store and the large Bizarro is with Ferris wheel inside, as well as, you know, F.A.O. Schwartz is obviously going to be moving. But the thing that I thought was really family friendly, and you might not immediately think so, but the Metropolitan Museum of Art. But if you have kids who are just fascinated with Egyptian artifacts, you can while away hours in there. I mean, my son's read books sort of that are based on sort of ancient Egyptology. And, you know, there's the Temple of Dendur that was brought back piece by piece and has now been rebuilt in the museum there. And it's, I mean, it's beautiful just with the reflecting pool in front of it. The other thing that I did, you know, I, once again, this is my frugal side coming out, just to get like a great view of the city without having to actually spend any money. You can take the Staten Island Ferry. Kids love going on boats. And it's a free ride from Manhattan across to Staten Island. And you get some of the best views of New York Harbor with the Statue of Liberty, Ellis Island, and the island of Manhattan in the background. And that was just a great view and a good way to just sort of get away from the hustle and bustle for a little while. And if you've got young children, you know, get on a boat. And what child doesn't like actually being on the water and, you know, seeing some of these really cool stuff?
Yeah.
I thought that was fantastic.
My son, actually, all he wanted to do was go to the top of the Empire State Building. I mean, it's so funny because when we told him, well, you know, it isn't the tallest building in the world anymore and hasn't been for quite some time. He might have started crying. I mean, he really was disappointed to find that out. I don't know. I don't really know how he thought it was because in his lifetime, it has not been the tallest building in the world. But apparently it still sort of carries that, you know, glamour through the, you know, so I don't know how he picked up that fact, but he believed it. He thought it was the tallest building in the world. And so, you know, he said, well, it's very tall. We'll go up it. And he pretty much was disappointed once we got in line, and he's like, this line is longer than any of the lines at Disney World. This is going to take forever.
No fast
pass. The elevator ride is so
long. And you're squeezed into the elevator with 3,000 of your closest friends. And yeah, so I think he quickly learned what New York City is all about. Yeah. Well, that's the thing too. All their, you know, they have those Art Deco uniforms for the Empire State Building. It's like, it looks like the Tower of Terror. So yeah, it was a bit traumatizing for him, I think. But I asked him afterwards, he's like, are you glad that we did it? He said, yeah, I wish it wasn't so cold up there. So that was really the only, he wasn't expecting it to be so windy.
Yeah.
My older daughter.
Well, how long did you stay, and how long do you recommend someone carve out time? What chunk of time are we looking at to get just a decent feel for the city?
My longest trip with my kids has been 4 nights. It's not that I wouldn't do more than that. It's just sort of what the opportunity was. Andy, how long did you go?
We did 2 nights. And to be honest, it wasn't quite long enough. I could have quite easily spent at least another night up there. I felt that we got a really good taste of what was going on. I learned an awful lot. You know, I spent a lot of time in London, and I know what Soho in London is. I didn't realize that Soho in Manhattan was actually short for South of Houston.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it's just the name of a district, and they'd stolen it from Britain, just like
New York, right?
But then they blew my mind, and there's actually a NoHo that nobody had ever informed me about. So I learned a lot on my trip to New York City, and I really would want to go back and spend some more time there. And now I've got a taste for it, sort of really spend some more time there and just explore more.
The first time I went, we spent like a week, and it was really good because we did spend so much time just walking around looking for things. One of the coolest places I found that I go back to every time is this bar called the White Horse Tavern, and Dylan Thomas, the poet, used to frequent it. So there's a Dylan Thomas room. And at the time, my friends told me that was where he drank himself to death, but I don't think he actually died there. But, you know, that is like, I mean, they pay homage to him, you know, with that whole Dylan Thomas room. And what else? We went to, I think we were in Greenwich Village, and this is back dating myself again, but Dennis Leary had this show on MTV. He was this breakout star. It wasn't even a show. It was little shorts. And his show in Greenwich Village was called No Cure for Cancer. Mm-hmm. And so we went to that one night, you know, and I mean, that was what made him start getting big, you know, and now he's like, you Now he was huge and now he's old, you know? So that was a long time ago.
He's still funny,
though. He is. He's good. Yeah. And so, you know, we did a lot of walking around. I remember the day we did Chinatown. I couldn't believe that they hung those chickens in the windows. And, you know, it was crazy. But
I went to a wedding in Chinatown once.
A wedding in Chinatown?
Yeah. My grandparents had a student come and stay with them. And he ended up moving to the United States. And he became friendly with my whole family. My dad was the best man. My grandfather gave the bride away. The bride was Portuguese, but he's Chinese. And so I remember the wedding there, and we were kids. So my parents stopped because they didn't know if we'd eat anything. And so they stopped and got us McDonald's on the way to the restaurant. But it was just so different. And so I had never been to a wedding like it before. And I don't think I've ever been to one like that since. And it was so cool to have been a part of it.
I think pretty much, you know, that speaking of that, we haven't talked about food in New York City. And obviously New York City is a mecca for all kinds of food. And, you know, I think actually this is the thing about New York. If you have a hobby, you can probably spend several days in New York City pursuing that hobby.
Oh, my God. That's like my husband went the last two times he went for Comic-Con.
Yeah.
So Comic-Con in New York is a little bit different than Comic-Con in California. But, yeah, and when you say food, his favorite place to go is this place called Smack, and it's S'MAC, and it's all mac and cheese. And he's like, yeah, I spent $20 on mac and cheese, and I stood in line to do it. And
there's so many little neighborhoods and so many different nationalities sort of who've made New York the little corner in New York, whether it's the Chinese or the Italians or the Koreans or the Portuguese or, you know, Ethiopians. You know, you can find cuisine from just about anywhere around the globe. And, you know, New York has always claimed that, you know, I mean, their pizza is the best in the world. And, you know, the Italian food is you know, to die for. And,
eating in Little Italy is like eating in Italy.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean,
that's the thing. When you see an Italian restaurant in New York, it probably is actually an Italian restaurant. Like, there's actually Italians who own it.
That was the first time I had family style at a restaurant. Was when I was in Little Italy.
We actually, when we had dinner after Aladdin, we went to a place very close to Times Square, which this is actually the second time it had been recommended to me. But my friend, you know, we said, you know, my son wants pizza. He's like, we have to go to John's. And so we, you know, walked the extra, across Times Square to John's Pizzeria. And I highly recommend it, but it's in an old church. But the pizza is all like oven fired right there, you know, pretty much right next to you. But it's this huge like room that has some of the, you know, you can sort of tell that it used to be a church. At first I thought maybe a train station. And then I realized that when I looked at the details, because it was huge. It's like the huge high ceiling. Oh, come on.
Really? Were there stained glass windows?
There were stained glass windows, but you know, there's stained glass windows other places than churches. Okay. Like for instance, train stations. But anyway, it was fantastic. You know, yeah, so really good stuff.
So was it good? It was a religious experience?
Yes, I suppose. I suppose it was. I don't know that my son was really impressed, but no.
Where did you guys fly into? Where do you recommend?
There's three airports. There's JFK, which is what Andy was talking about. There's LaGuardia. And then there's Newark, which is in New Jersey. But sometimes from certain places, it's cheaper to fly in there or it's nonstop. Mm-hmm. So it really just depends. If you're going into Manhattan, you could go to either any of them.
I think LaGuardia is technically the closest of the three.
Yeah.
But I don't know that it would give you the, I mean, it's not always the shortest drive because of traffic or, you know, what have you. So
yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a bridge.
So I flew into Newark for the first time for this trip because we were actually sailing out of New Jersey. So we flew into Newark, went up into the city and then came back, got on the cruise ship. And when we got off the cruise ship, we went right back to Newark. So it was the most convenient place for getting off the cruise ship. And, I felt like the commute in, and maybe it was the time that we went in, but you know, I had heard all these things about Newark being so far away from the city compared to the other ones. It really wasn't that bad. It really wasn't. It was a nice drive in.
What Russ and I, my husband, we went to visit my family once and we flew into Newark from San Diego because I don't know if it was a lot cheaper or something. And we got there fine and we hit so much traffic on the way there that we literally almost missed our plane by minutes. And I remember running through the airport feeling like OJ. I'm like OJ running through the airport trying to make our plane. And the traffic just getting to Newark, was so bad.
That's funny you say that, because we missed our train by the time I was there for New Year's Eve, and I think it was in New York. Yeah, we were like banging on the train as it was pulling away.
We're going to have to rename our podcast, the Flyaway Podcast, where we're all really old and only know pop culture references 20 years ago or more.
The thing about New York City and the northeastern U.S. in general is the public transportation links are so easy to use. Mm-hmm. You don't have to sort of try and take a taxi there. You can actually get there by, you know, more often than not by public transportation. And that's one thing that, you know, you're visiting a big city, it's so easy to move around. Mm-hmm. And yeah. Great experience.
Well, that's our show for this week. We welcome your comments and feedback on this episode, or any episode, really. To leave comments, visit us at outlandertravel.com. Then click podcast at the top of the page and find the episode you wish to comment on. Or like us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/outlanderpodcast. Or just search for Flyaway, or email us at info@outlandertravel.com. We would love to hear from you. On behalf of Robin, Andy, Elizabeth, Sandy, and myself, Lindsay, thank you for joining us here at Outlander Travel, and we'll see you next week. Gotta fly!